All right, everybody, we're going to get started. So if you could please take your seats. Thank you, everybody, for coming. Today's session, Darren Dahl is going to talk about capitalizing on your great game story to attract employees and customers. And since we only have an hour, I'm going to turn it over to Darren to get us started.
Thanks, Eric. Thanks, everyone, for coming. This is an interesting layout of feeling like I've never taught a college class, but it has that kind of a vibe to it. In that same spirit, just to kick us off, I had this experience of a professor in college who you walked in the first day of the semester, took your seat, and he was up here, and what he said was, day one, everyone's got an A. All you got to do is meet my expectations, do your homework, show up to class, do enough on the test to get an A, and then you'll get it. I'm the one who's being graded today. So I really want to get that A from you guys. So right up front, I just want to know, I've got an agenda. I've got some thoughts about what I think telling a story is all about and how I can help you guys tell your story. But I want to make sure that I address anything that you came here to deal with. So let's make it very interactive. If you have questions, we can write down some stuff right now. What, can anyone raise a hand? What did you come here for? What do you want to know?
I want to be able to connect with people effectively to get this story out. Why?
What kind of people? So I don't know. Can everyone hear the questions? I know we have to repeat it anyway, but
okay. Yeah, I can repeat it.
Okay. When I talk to people, when I do something like public relations, I'm looking at talking to my community. I'm talking to potential employees. I'm talking to the employees I have and the customers I have to have them say, I'm glad I went there, or I want to go there, or maybe I'd like to work there, or I'm proud to work there. Because we're doing this stuff.
Great.
So I want to touch a lot of different people effectively with that kind of message.
Okay. Easy. Done.
Okay.
who else? Anyone? I mean, that covered a lot. So, yes.
Okay, so I'm in HR, so of course my interest is recruiting. I would like to learn a little bit more about telling the story without freaking people out, because especially with leadership, it can be a foreign concept depending on what companies they came from, and it might scare them a little bit to be so open and transparent.
So the great game specifically?
The great game specifically,
okay.
Yep.
Okay, great. Anyone else? Okay, over here. Thank you. I might pull you, this. By the way, just a quick story. I'll be telling you lots of stories today too. But this is Franzi, and she's been one of the photographers here for the gathering. You probably see her ducking around and all this stuff. Well, she's from my hometown of Asheville. I didn't know she was going to be here. She is a force for power. She's a powerful force for good and like champion of business in our town. And somehow our paths crossed here. So this is the power of the great game. This is how we're going to get to that 10 million, because it's happening. So thanks for being here.
So I really want to know how to use the story to show the edge on competitors. Yeah. Like your edge with using this to other competitors. So like my customers. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. Well, and you guys, it might even be your sister company. You want to show how you can get Argent International, right? Or, well, you're kind of over both, aren't you? But, all right. Yeah, so some of you I know, some of you I don't know, and I'm probably going to pick on the people that I know. So, anyone else? Anything that we didn't cover there?
guys for being from North Carolina. I feel right at home now. In our business of printing, I think Mr. Stack kind of touched on it today, that young people, we're having a hard time attracting young people. Mm-hmm. Ours is an aging industry. How do we attract, how do we sell it to young people, not just the employees, customers as well, because young people are coming to the art industry, graphics, you know, and how do we attract them in that and make that transition with them?
Great, thank you. And what I would say is, what I'm going to try to do is give you guys some frameworks and some things to be thinking about. And certainly, what's so great about this community is that we can follow up, and we can talk about specifics, different stories, things like that. So if I don't get a specific answer to you, raise your hand. Let's see if we can't tackle it together, or if we can follow up later. I know it is. I have no idea how fast this is going to go, so I'm counting on you to keep me on track to some degree. All right, thank you. So everyone's got a story. You know, this isn't just for businesses and things like that. We all have a story. So I'll just tell you my quick story. You heard a little bit where I live. It's in Asheville. Well, I would even divide my story into two parts. Part one is I went to business school in Albany, New York. And I went and worked for a bunch of IT companies. And the other day, I get an email from someone. Actually, I think it started with a voicemail. And it was somebody I went to school with. And this is 25 years ago. And it's this man right here, John. We went to business school together. And then all of a sudden, I hear from him. And he's coming to this conference. And it's like, wow. That's really cool that something so far in my past has come into my present, which is Act Two, which is now, I was a journalist, or I am a journalist, I guess, where I got started at Inc. magazine. That's where I got to meet people like Lauren Feldman and Jack Stack. And that path led me to The Great Game. And I will paraphrase Jack, but as he says, I'm screwed. Because as soon as you learn about this system, it's like, why would you write about anything else? This is the thing, right? So my career's gone downhill ever since. My opportunities are drying up everywhere because this is all I want to write about. But, hey, we know this is important, and this is really, there's so many great stories here to tell. So it's really kind of a real privilege for me to be here. So maybe ask you guys a little bit. So we've already talked about what you want to accomplish. What do you think telling a story, what are some of the things you talked about? You want to attract and retain employees. Heard that. New customers, partners, use your story to connect folks that way. Community connections, heard that. What are some things that people that you might meet? What else? Anyone have any suggestions about like things where you think stories can help connect things? Yeah.
That's all right.
Okay. The benefit of stories is they bring an air of believability to what you impart, because you're not telling a theory. You're not telling something that might happen. You're telling something that did happen. And there's maybe a lesson in it, maybe a moral in it. But here's an example, heuristic as it may be, of something that is, that somebody can take away and say, ha-ha, he did it. I heard the story.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Well, let's build on that a little bit. And when we think about stories, the best ones are sticky, right? They stick with us, or that we pass them on, and can't wait to get home and tell our partner or tell our friends or at the next cocktail party, like, man, I heard this great story. I mean, this is a great story. We all know this story about Springfield, Missouri, 89-1 debt-to-equity ratio, all these problems. I mean, you can't help but get inspired by where this thing got started. So it's not a surprise that we keep going back to the beginning when we tell the great game story, because it has such a great and powerful beginning. You're right in the drama of it, right? And then it kind of unfolds from there. Here's another story. Franzi knows these guys. There's a chocolate, it's called French Broad Chocolate Lounge, and it's in Asheville, North Carolina. And so when you think about stories that are sticky, how about love and chocolate? That's a good combo, right? So you got these two, you know, fairly young couple. Their story is all over their business. It's on their website. It's on all their materials. They've had so many people write about them in every kind of publication you can imagine. And it all comes back to this romance that boy meets girl. They met at a wedding. And then all of a sudden, they both left graduate school. They went to Costa Rica. They learned about chocolate. They opened a restaurant. She got pregnant. They decided to, it was a biodiesel-powered school bus. They drove that back to the U.S. The school bus died in Asheville, so they're like, okay, let's start here. And then they open up like, hey, we learned so much about chocolate. People love to socialize and enjoy chocolate. Let's have a chocolate lounge. And we're going to have alcohol and cakes and all these things. And every day there's a huge line outside this place. And everybody knows their story. So it's just it's a great example of when you can find that thing, and it's like everyone wants to tell this story because it's such a good one. There's no math in this presentation. These are my only facts. I looked these up. So when you tell someone a story, there's 22 times, you're 22 times more likely that someone's going to remember that than a fact. So we've got Mr. Stack sitting in the back up here, just in case you didn't know, and he loves his facts. But I keep telling him, man, let's get some stories. Tell some stories, because that's what's really sticky. That's what people are going to want to share and talk about and remember. Great stories are also like chemical warfare. You know, they actually do things to our brains, where we release these chemicals and we feel really good. Or, you know, some of the best stories are the ones where they engage us like in an unexpected way, like, you know, in a dramatic moment in a movie or some twist. And then you're like, whoa, I got to pay attention. Well, that's a whole different kind of chemical release in your brain. And then you work towards, well, then the good thing happens to them. And then the dopamine comes out and you're like, yeah, this is cool. I'm enjoying this. That said, you know, in this era we live in now, attention spans are like this, right? And I think that's something every writer struggles with, too, whenever you're telling a story, and probably with video and anything, is how do you get to the story quick? Because I think in some ways we've all, I've seen this at least in action, where you want to build up your story and then you can have this great ending, but maybe you're lost people by that point. It's really like, how do you get them right off the bat? And sometimes that can be through pictures, through videos and things, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. But when you think about, you know, something like everyone's got a website, or if you don't have a website, you probably shouldn't be at this conference. Just kidding. But it's, you know, we all have these websites. That's now how we go to get our information. And how about your About Us page? Everyone's got their About Us page. Do you got any sticky stories there? Or is it more, you know, systems and solutions and tech-enabled this and that? I mean, all that's important. That tells you what you do. But is it sticky? And is that the first interaction someone's going to have with you, your brand, your people? So just think about that. Okay, so while that we can deconstruct what goes into a story. One of the common structures are these, you know, five C's, things that might be in a story. So circumstance, you know, what's the plot? What's the situation that's going on? Or curiosity, like, oh, you know, I want to know more. They've teased me. Characters, of course. That's, you know, to the theme that we've been hearing all day, and if you're here yesterday, people. You know, people have such great stories. And everyone, you'll all get this PowerPoint. Feel free. I'm glad to see everyone taking notes. Again, it's like, this is what it's like to be a professor, huh? Like, yeah, okay, you're saying something interesting. Cool. Conversations. You know, I think sometimes we forget about how in a good book or a good movie, it's dialogue. It's this back and forth. I mean, are we doing that when we tell our story? Are we capturing that on our websites? I don't know. And then conflicts. Everybody loves drama. And I think that when it comes to telling our story, the temptation is to share just the good stuff, right? You know? And it's like we can't forget emotion. That's where that chemical warfare comes in. That's where we get people in their heart. Sorry. So when you think about your story, personally, with your business, you know, what's the situation right there? What are some of the characters? How could you maybe make a story about your people? I mean, those videos that we just watched in the All-Star things were great, right? Oh my gosh, like just seeing it from the people, it's not just from the CEO, it's just different perspectives. I mean, doesn't that sell it to you? It did to me. So, let's think about Pixar. I was afraid of getting sued or something, so I don't have their brand up there. I don't know how that works. So this is kind of something. So, I mean, Toy Story, WALL-E, what are some of their other great movies?
Monsters, Inc.
I mean, they have countless, right? It's like every time a movie comes out, there's something awesome about it. And it's great. It's the animation is part of it, but it's also the stories that are involved. And as it turns out, after researching this a little bit, I found out that almost they all kind of use a similar template in their stories. And it goes like this. You know, once upon a time, there was, every day, something happened. And because of that, something happened. And then because of that, and then finally your conclusion. So, I mean, think about that as maybe a template when you think about your story. Just plug it into that. What would that look like? You know, is there something so simple that it can be broken down into an outline like that? So when we think about telling a story, another way we can do this, hey, how's it going, Trevor? I kind of like the idea of the non-traditional start of a story. I don't know if you guys like when, I mean, there's some pretty crazy movies out there, but has anyone remember this movie called Memento? You know, that's one, it messes you up because you're like, what is happening? You're starting at the end, but then you're in the middle, but I'm totally engaged the whole time. And I think that there's this temptation that we just start from the beginning and we go all the way to the end, and that's a very simple way to tell a story, and it works. But if there is this moment of conflict, a moment of drama, a moment of clarity, maybe if you start there and then you unwind it, you know, get that, grab them right off the bat with that dramatic moment. So when you're telling stories, I mean, this is something probably a little bit jaded from being a journalist is that you get pitched a lot of stories by PR folks, and nothing against PR folks, that it's always this heroic story. It's always like, and you know, sometimes it is about the CEO coming to the rescue, but sometimes it just feels like, man, you are selling me hard. What are you covering up? And why is it always such a feel-good story? Or why is it always that? All right, this is something that's kind of been bugging me for a long time, where I feel like when we tell stories, and this is, again, not to disparage any of you CEOs out here, but maybe it's not always all you that did it. Maybe you shouldn't get all the credit in the story or all the blame. You know, how can you find a way to make this about everybody? So Simon Sinek is a guy. Has anyone read his book or seen his videos? Because it's been seen like 18 bazillion times. And really, the book comes down to this one line. It's a great line, but you know, if you haven't bought the book, I might save you $10. But it's a great line. But I have a story about Simon Sinek that I feel like I have to share with you. So this goes back about 10 years ago. I was living in New York, and I was working for Inc. magazine at the time, and I get this. Somebody connects me to this guy, and he meets me at a bar, or something. I forget where we met. And he's telling me that he wants me to help him write his story. And it all involves he won't tell me what it is. He's like, no, I think you'll steal it. You know, I can't tell it to you, but it involves like a circle and this secret thing. And I was like, man, this guy does not feel authentic. And he was saying like sometimes it would sound like he had an English accent and then it would go away. I'd be like, wow, this is really weird. And his shirt was unbuttoned way too far. I was like, I'm being sold something and kind of like disconnected from this dude. Yeah, that was Simon Sinek, and he sold a lot of books. So he knew something that I didn't quite pick up on. But I haven't seen Simon since then, but I think he probably did all right with, I'm not sure if he even wrote his own book or not, but actually, this, you know, to go back to that, you know, another thing was, you know, when you think about authentic, I thought about that, the Sharon video that we all saw this morning. Is anyone else moved by that? I mean, isn't that what authenticity is? Is like someone really just out there? I mean, we saw it in other videos too, but like somebody like tearing up and crying. I mean, it's like that. Is good storytelling, and it makes you want to do things. So when we, kind of building on that, this kind of comes up to some of these questions about audience. It's a really important question because you can take the same story and tailor it to a different audience. It all depends on who you're trying to reach. Right? I mean, the story you tell to a potential customer might be the same one, but just kind of tailored a little bit different if it was an employee you were trying to attract, right? So I think it's important that you think about maybe building up an inventory of stories that may be aimed at different kinds of audiences. I think about, so we have one of our members of the audience today is Cindy Stein. And this is an amazing story because it is, and I don't know how many of you know this, but there is Greene County, where Springfield, home of SRC, is. That county is now playing the great game of business. And in large part, thanks to Cindy and the huddles she's running and the people there. I haven't been to one, which is, I need to do that next time I'm there. But, you know, this is such an inspirational story But, you know, when it comes to your, and Cindy, I think, is trying to figure this out. How do we tell our story? Because if she's talking to elected officials in Dallas, Texas, is her story a little bit different than it is for the folks in Greene County? I don't know, but it's worth thinking about. I mean, you know, how about the two janitors that work inside for Greene County that once they were taught about how their finances or how their decisions impacted the county's finances, they realized, oh, we've got these chemicals that we've been cleaning with. We're just doing our job, and we're going to clean everything that we need to. But, wow, we can dilute this. We can dilute, you know, in a safe way, and we can get so much more cleaning done for so much less cost. And, you know, that kind of behavior has now led to Greene County's credit rating has gone up because they're doing better. Is that fair to say it that way?
It is fair to say, and I know when Moody's last rated us, they quoted
our financial success and gave it to the great game of, we call great game of government, but that allowed us to get a higher rating.
Now, who doesn't want to tell that story? But I think it's this question of, is there different audiences that you may want to reach, and how does that maybe change the characters? Change the conflict? Something to think about. And I mean, I think for all of us, if you think about, you know, your, well, basically the points I'm making, but I think that when you think about the audience, what you're trying to do is find that hook where they can connect with you. How did they see themselves in your story? So that's where, hey, if it's a customer, how do you make them see it that, man, I just want to do business with them so bad. This seems so cool. I love this. Just like, hey, we want employees. How do we get them to see themselves here? And we'll build on this in a second, but it isn't just about listing out a bunch of benefits that you're going to give them. I think it is, that's where stories come in. It's like, how do you paint that picture where they can actually see themselves in that seat, on that factory floor, whatever. So, you know, when we talk about telling your great game story, just show of hands, how many of you, because we heard the last All-Star company up there, Willoway, mentioned, like, we put it up on our website that we're great game and transparent and all that. How many of you put that on your webpage? Is that maybe an opportunity to maybe think about that? I mean, what are you doing that you... We're talking about changing the world. We've got all this stuff going on, transparency, engagement, staking the outcome. This is what employees are looking for. This is what customers are looking for. If you're willing to be open and transparent with them and they can see, I mean, this is something like that Jack says, their best selling tool are the stories that their employees, or associates, employee owners, on the factory floors, because they have the information and they can tell the story. And it's like, if you're a customer and you're walking around and your employee owners can tell you how profitable or what the margin is on this, and you know what all about the orders for that particular customer, I mean, that is powerful. So when it comes to, you know, thinking about your great game, what are you guys doing? How can you leverage that more? I'm going to pick on somebody else, my fellow helper here, Eric. So Eric has been an All-Star finalist, correct?
That's correct.
And you have a really deep connection to the great game in that your grandfather worked for International Harvester just like...
He worked on the street. So the whole story, when I was listening to it, I got the audiobook. Jack's reading it, and I'm going back to my childhood because I used to drive right past there when, with my grandmother to pick my grandfather up. So I was there when it was happening, but it was, yeah, it just kind of brought back a whole bunch of childhood memories of the area and what things were like at that time.
So is any of that on your website?
Not a word of it.
And I did do my homework. I looked at your website, so that was a trick question. But what, you know, and that's the kind of thing, is that you're not currently talking about any of your great game stuff either, which obviously you're here and you're really proud of. So is that not an opportunity for you guys to, how do you spell this out more? How do you put these stories that are happening every day and help them make your company sticky? Not with chocolate and all that, but maybe sometime. So here's some, when you think about the great game, I think that there's a tendency, and getting back to my story and my journey, so I was privileged enough to be able to start doing the All-Star case studies a bunch of years ago, and so Jack gave me, I really appreciate the shout out on that, but we're following a template and that we've evolved over time. And in the beginning, it was really like, whoa, look at all these bottom, like every company, look, the numbers are up, costs are down, all this good stuff. And then it started dawning on me over time, like, that's not the whole story. What about the people? What is happening inside these people? And why aren't we telling more of that? There's also so many of you that, in talking to, it's hundreds at this point of people who have played the great game and at some level, there's so many of you have come into this in crisis. it's as if it took a real moment of everything else has failed. Well, all right, fine, I'll do this. I've been putting it off, but man, we need to do this. Well, how about you think about turning some of those moments into the opening of a great story, a great turnaround story. Oh, we know there's one of those, great SRC's turnaround story. Well, how about your own? I mean, take us, if you're going to tell your story, why not start in the moment of that conflict? And, back to the people and culture, I think that that has been the thing over the past couple of years that we have just heard again and again. And we know the great game people are echoing this. It's money, it's people, it's both. But, now this is what differentiates you in the market, is your culture, as far as employees and probably for customers. What they want to know what your culture is, and so how do you incorporate that into your story? So let's talk about where you can tell your story. So I was picking on websites. I am a person who writes stories, but as we saw today, video is such a powerful way to tell stories. I mean, it doesn't take much these days to put a camera out there, and there's a lot of people that know how to edit that stuff. We know about social media. There's blogs. We know that there are also other things like writing books. You can even, the cost of writing a book these days, if you're willing to self-publish it or just put it on as an ebook, is like nothing. So how about having that as one of the sort of options to tell your story in your inventory? Like maybe you have a book to hand potential customers that's different than maybe the story that you hand to people in that you're bringing in for interviews. Because that's part of the thing too. Is like I think about when you bring people in for your interviews, are you telling them the great game story? Are you getting them excited the way that you are or that the people in this audience are? And if not, why not start right there? What a great first opportunity to expose somebody to your story. So one of the options, obviously, is to talk to someone in the media and get them to tell your story. And we've got Lauren Feldman from Forbes magazine here. So Another quick story. Lauren was one of my first editors at Inc. magazine, however long, 15 years ago. And I learned a lot about telling great stories from Lauren. So Lauren is also somebody that, wow, he might be somebody that you want to talk to about your story. And he might be able to, you know, think about a way of that gets told in the media or gets, you know, shared in different, there's so many circles right now of that you can access. I think it was Lauren that was poking fun at the newspaper industry. So what it's we think about what's happening to the national media and fake news. Media is in trouble, we know. It's still a powerful way to get your story out. And you shouldn't overlook it completely. It just maybe I can give you some tips and some tools of how to do that successfully. Journalists are lazy. I say this, I'm excluded. But the thing is, when you approach people with telling your story, like, how can you, don't rely on them to figure it all out. Be thinking about these lessons that we've been walking through. Like, how can you help package this for them so that they're like, in that first 8 seconds, yes, this is an awesome story. We need to share this. Another key thing, especially if you want to ever pitch to like a national media or something like that, is how does your story fit into a trend or something bigger so that it's not just you and, you know, even though that might be an awesome story, but sometimes that's what journalists are looking for and editors are looking for. How can they make a bigger picture piece out of this? And it's a common mistake that I've seen people do when they reach out to the media is they think like, okay, I've got this story and I'm going to throw it to everybody. And then I'm just hoping that somebody's going to snag this and then it'll all work out. Well, it turns out that media members are somewhat competitive with each other. So if somebody does happen to run it, and then someone else runs it, and they find out that they're going to be pissed. So it's a little bit about maybe instead of the mass, you know, throwing it out there to everybody, do some homework. Think about what kinds of publications you'd like to see your story in. Where are your customers reading? Is it trade journals? Is it association newsletters? Things like that may be more impactful than Forbes magazine, depending on what you want your audience to be. So there can be some strategy in terms of who do you want to hear your story. When it comes to talking to the media, journalists love people, but we love sound bites, you know, really fun, quotable things. So these are some of the things you can do to maybe prep yourself before you're talking to a member of the media is, you know, think about what sounds interesting. Just like in a movie, you know, who are the characters that we like the most? Are the ones that are funny or the ones that are, oh my gosh, what a zinger, that's awesome. So put some thought into that about being interesting and saying things maybe in a different way that they've never heard before. When you're being interviewed, or if you choose to be interviewed, you know, one of the tricks, some people are really good at this, and it's this, maybe some of you are already familiar with this, like the trick of bridging. So it's like, you ask me about this, and then I'm going to tell you about this. And I'm not flinching, because I'm going to tell you my story. I don't care what you're asking me. I'm going to tell you my story. So, you know, it's something that you have the power when you're talking to the media, and don't let them take that away from you. Tell the story you want to tell. And that gets to this last point, too. Not, you're going to run into trouble with certain publications, but, you know, I think that part of like our whole culture of fake news and all this is like we don't trust it anymore. We don't trust that the story is going to be told the way we want or that we're going to be quoted the way we thought we were. So try to take that power back. Say, like, I would love to fact check that story before it goes to print and see what they have to say. if they really fight you and they're like, no, no, we have total editorial control over that. We, nope, this is our story now. Maybe it's not a good fit. Just think about it. I don't have it up there, but there's a couple other terms that if you ever find yourself talking to a member of the media, they can be really powerful. And they're somewhat in the news these days, but if you say to a media member that this is off the record, that means that they are not supposed to quote you. And if they do, that's an ethical breach. And, not sure what your recourse is, but it's a powerful phrase that most media members will respect. And then the other one is this on background, which means I'm willing to tell you what, I'll give you some information, but I don't want to be named. Just use me as background on this. So those things, though, you can actually use those to build relationships with media members, too, where you might trust them to tell the story, and maybe somebody who, gets more interested in your story, you can feed them some information. I can answer any more questions about that. I just want to make sure that we cover these questions that you have. So how do you tell a story without freaking people out? I'm going to challenge that because I think that actually people are more excited about it. I mean, I was talking to somebody last night at the bar, and I'm forgetting the company name, but they were saying how, they could never share their financials with their customers because no way, we couldn't do that. Or share, it was even specific to the job, what in terms of the numbers on a particular job. And I kind of challenged that, and I said, what would happen if you did? What if you shared what you were making with your customer? Don't you think either they would cut bait or would they be like, okay, that's fair? Now they trust you. I mean, isn't it get to this deal where the more you share, the more trust you build? I think it's worth a shot. I mean, when it comes to freaking people out, was the question more about, hey, if you come work here, you're going to have to learn the financials and you're going to have to do this kind of stuff? And do you think that maybe is a way to weed out some folks that, what do they want to hide?
Yeah, maybe they're not the right people.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's when you look at, it's been bugging me for a while, Jack, I apologize, but he calls them millennials, and he's the only person in the world, so I'm going to let him own that term. So the millennials that we all know are coming into the workforce. They want all these things that are in the great game, and including transparency. They actually want this. So I get it. I get it that some people might be freaked out, but I wonder if run an experiment and just see, and if somebody rejects the offer, ask them why. Or maybe this is your opportunity to share, have some stories from, people that would be in a similar job, and they can be talking about what it's like to be in a transparent environment. It was tough at first, but boy, once you get into it, it is awesome. You don't have to worry. And so I think that's part of the opportunity of using people inside your organization to tell your story for you. And this is another one of these real key lessons from, I think, probably something that Lauren would have taught me a long time ago, is when any kind of storytelling, it's all about showing, not just telling. So you could say, we're in a transparent company that does this and this and this. Well, show them. How are you transparent? How can you make that story come alive, either through having someone like Sharon tell it, someone on social media, I don't know. There's all these opportunities in front of you. So I think that, just to address that, I don't know if I addressed it enough or if you had a follow-up to that.
I'm good. Thank you.
Okay. Com- competitive advantage. Don't you think, like, maybe even to my story about, you know, sharing information on a project with somebody, what if your competitor won't share information and you will? What is that? What kind of message do you think that sends to a customer? Like, whoa, that's pretty cool. They're willing to share this with me. Like, that might set you apart. Or, you know, think about different things about, you know, walking around the factory floors of SRC and you have people on the shop floor who are telling your story for you, who can tell you what the financials are. Doesn't that set you apart? So, you know, I think that it's arming people with the information that then becomes part of the story that they can tell. And maybe they tell their own personal story like we've seen today. With somebody, I mean, I teared up a couple times this afternoon because, I mean, it's like, you know, you see that daughter who wrote the letter about the woman. I mean, that's like incredible. I would have that like on my homepage. Because how does that not share the story about the culture you're building? You know, young people, I think we're hitting that. I think that, again, I hate to generalize people. You can't just say an entire generation acts and thinks the same. Because I think that this is going to be the differentiator for this war for talent for everybody. Of all ages, it's going to be what keeps your best people here. You know, that's another, Jack talked about this morning, attrition. Well, don't you think this is also awesome at retaining young talent instead of them looking for a job the next year? If you've got them believing in the story of where they're headed. Okay, what other questions might I help with today? Oh boy. Okay. It's Lauren.
There I hope you. You just want her to run.
Me too, I guess. I want to go back to that thing about journalists being lazy.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I often find when I talk to business owners that they're so close to their own stories that they don't realize what's special about them. And you're really good at spotting stories, and you know this group better than anyone. I've read most of your 100 case studies. I wonder if you have any advice for them on how to figure out what would really connect with an audience.
Well, that's a really good question. And I think sometimes the temptation is to work from the top down. And it's to think about, like, well, let's get our leadership team together. Let's get, you know, well, why don't you ask people what you think the story is inside your organization first? I mean, just do it like a crowdsourcing, wisdom of the crowd. What do you think makes us different from our customer? Why did you come to work here? And I think that you'd find that you'd start getting some of this interesting feedback and interesting insights for you. I mean, it could also be coming to the gathering, talking to people, you know, applying for All-Star Awards. I mean, if anyone here who's been an All-Star, I mean, some of that stuff that's in there, why not use that? You know, use that stuff that we're doing for you. So I think that's a validation point. But maybe even sometimes it's your peers. You know, how about, you know, the folks, if you're in a peer group or other people in your industry? I mean, I'm thinking of Cindy. I mean, that's, how do you think your story, when you, I mean, it's almost, if you open your ears to it, when you go and you visit other counties, other elected officials, aren't you hearing stuff that you're like, wow, I didn't think about it, how different that was that we do this, or wow, I'm really proud that they recognize this for that. Is that fair?
I know we really try to communicate the message about how the game can be played within a government setting, and it could be a chamber of commerce, it could be a city, it could be a kind of a nonprofit. they don't believe it can happen in their organization. But once we start telling our story, and you reminded me that we're telling this story when we go out and speak or communicate with groups. We're not telling our story on our website. Mm-hmm. It was like, how did I miss that point?
I saw that.
Yeah. Well, I wrote it down. That's my takeaway. Thank you for that takeaway.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's also this temptation to think that it's a one and done. And that, you know, we need to do this one effort and then we'll have it out there. But why not try a lot of experiments? Try different things. Hey, let's put a story out there today or do something on social media. Let's have our people make a video. And maybe at first it's not going to be great quality, or hey, maybe there's something wrong with it in some sense, but you've unleashed the creativity of your people to tell the story. That's really powerful. Man, the heavy hitters are coming out.
I'll toot your horn just a little bit. A few months ago, you called me and interviewed me about an incident. Well, I mean, yeah, I'm in a business and, you know.
Well, Ron is a longtime SRC employee who goes back to the International Harvester days.
Yeah, and so I'm responsible for several of our business units. But this incident had to do with a board I sat on outside our company and went through some tough things on it. In that company, he calls me and interviews me about this, and I'm a just a facts type of guy. So in about 3 minutes, I tell him the whole story. You know, done. But then he starts asking the questions that I should have asked myself that makes you want to learn from incidences, right? So I wrote a couple of them down when we were talking. First, he called me in the middle of the pain because I felt some responsibility because I was a board member of this company and some things went wrong, and I should have seen some of it sooner. In fact, and I saw some of it sooner, but did the hands-off type stuff. But then he starts asking questions like, well, what triggered that response? What was your first clue? How did you feel when? And then it's like, okay, now that three-minute story I had, we talked about for 45 minutes, and I had a lot more clarity when it was over. I didn't want to tell the story ever again, but I learned a tremendous amount from it. And then in that case, we ended up having to hire another CEO for this business. I was able to sit down with that CEO and walk through the incident that company went through with a lot of clarity and having learned a lot. And it was just how you approached a story. And I'll tell you, just from that interview, I'd made a half a page of notes just on the questions you asked me because it made me think more clearly doing the autopsy on that story. And wow, what I learned a lot and helped the next guy that came along. So thank you for that.
Well, thanks, Ron. I appreciate you saying that. And I think, I mean, certainly that's what your job is at times as a journalist, is to ask a lot of questions. And I think that could be a discipline any of us could do. You know, it's just like Ron's saying, these are the things, what were those things that were provoking those emotional responses? Why was this happening? I mean, these are powerful questions to ask, even of yourself. If you're telling your own story, well, why did I do that? So I do think that you can be your own sounding board and your team for, you know, how do we go deeper with a story? How do we make it more emotional? How do we get those people to engage with their brains and their hearts?
We've got time for one more.
Okay.
Darren, I was just going to add to how you talked about just trying new things and just starting somewhere. I work for SRC, by the way. Surprisingly, marketing is new for us. Obviously, it was a huge story. So in the 80s and 90s, everyone knew. We didn't have to tell it. And so now that's not so much the case with new generations. And we are trying everything. I mean, one of our divisions worked with a digital marketing company, did some social media marketing, some digital radio, and now we're kind of seeing what other markets we can hit, what other audiences. We're starting to explore traditional radio, and when you're talking about just publishing these things internally, like blogs, videos, and all that, before I was even there, that's what I do. I write, do photography, videography. They just kind of looked for people throughout the company who had those talents. And a lot of people have those hobbies. A lot of people like to write, and a lot of people like to do photography and videography. Mm-hmm. And they might not be at expert level, but if you give them that opportunity to do that, you might not have the most immaculate photos or videos, but that person will grow into that, and then you will see that grow, and it's someone who already works for you. And then once you get to a point where you think that this is longevity, this is something, a resource, then you can start to make that investment in equipment or in a new job title, because there's talent spread out. We find that there's crazy amounts of talent that fly under the radar. And that's even how some of our marketing folks got started out. They were in production or engineering, and they had a knack for it. They had a knack for design. And that's just one way to let that grow organically. You don't have to, you know, drop thousands and thousands of dollars immediately.
That was awesome. Thank you, Danielle. I mean, great advice, right? And not advertising agencies. I'm sure there's some of you here. Sorry. But, you know, maybe start internally before you go hire some big thing, because you want this big storytelling engine behind you. Well, it's amazing how all of us, I mean, even if you got people together and just started talking about, like, what are your favorite stories and why? What kind of books are you reading and why? I mean, it's, all of a sudden you can start seeing these patterns of what goes into great storytelling, and I just guarantee you will find the characters, the plots, the things in your own companies that you can tell. And in a way that's not just, we deliver solutions to the market, you know? Like, what is your story? Tell it. Don't be afraid of it.
I'll testify to that, because if you stick around for the next session, you'll see two really bad cell phone videos that we took. No production value whatsoever.
Selling the next session.
It's my job.
So is that it for time?
I think we're about ready to wrap up. And
well,
how about
there's my email address. I mean, I would love to, if anyone has questions or there's things that you'd like to bounce off me, I'm happy to help. I mean, this is passion. And I want us to get to that 10 million mark. Let's get to that BHAG. And how are we going to do that? It's by you guys sharing your stories. That's what's going to get sticky with everyone else. So please, tell your story and let's change the world.
How about a hand for Darren, everybody?